Okay, we're calling the meeting to order. Please stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
How did they get the fast signs in there?
No.
There's no reportable action that took place in the closed session, but we have a chair
malfunction
here, so. Okay, and now it's time to turn it over to our student representative to the board. Okay, Michelle.
Hello. Thanks for having me tonight. All right, I'll be reading Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts student report. This past Friday was the French night performance, which was a lot of fun. The French class put together a small skit and performed some musical numbers. Sadly, this was the last French night performance due to the fact that Ruth Atkins, the language teacher, will be retiring. Last Saturday was May 7th. Was prom, which was held at the Laughing Lotus in Marysville, and it was beautiful. It was really fun. This Friday is the Remember the Time tribute to Michael Jackson dance recital at 7 p.m. in the auditorium, including class dance numbers that were choreographed by the instructor. Many of the numbers were student choreography numbers created by students themselves. Next Friday, May 20th, is the SWAT, a.k.a. Students Who Are There, group dance here at the MCAA Quad at 7 p.m. Awards night will be on May 23rd in the auditorium. Students will be awarded trophies based off a point system, that students earn for being in performances and student activities. Scholarship winners will also be announced at this ceremony. The senior luncheon, ran by senior parents, will be happening on Thursday, May 26th at the Alan Scott Youth and Community Center. Finals begin May 27th through February 2nd. On the last day of school will be our annual Day on the Green celebration and film festival. The 8th grade promotion and graduation will be happening on Thursday, June 2nd. The 8th grade promotion party will be held at Friday Night Live after the ceremony. The 8th graders will be going on a class field trip to Rio Cortez Pools on May 18th, and then the senior class will be going to Sunsplash on May 25th. MCAA will be having their ASB Leadership and Student Council elections on Thursday, May 26th. And last but not least, today was the last Fremont Rideout Teen Leadership Council meeting of the class of 2016. To end off the year, we went to the Yuba Center Fairgrounds to plant a garden, which was fun. It's interesting. And that's it for the student report.
Thank you, Michelle. Comments from board members? Mr. Danable?
None
tonight. Mr. Boom?
Yeah, I had a chance last Saturday to go down and watch the Marysville Sportsman's Club perform, one of our newer clubs, and very, very interesting. A lot of people there. There was well over 300 participants just on the JV level alone. Probably, I'm estimating 700 to 800 people there. They had probably 30 different stations going at one time. Very interesting to watch, very organized, very well run. And you guys ever have a Saturday where they're having an event at Coon Creek, it's a lot of fun, a lot of fun to watch. And some of our kids performed extremely well, scoring 89 out of 100 on the JV level. I didn't stay and watch the varsity level perform. North wind was blowing that day about 40 miles an hour, so I thought it was pretty impressive to see them perform that well in those types of conditions. So it was a lot of fun.
Mr. Rasmussen?
No comment on that.
Mr. Fleury?
This last Saturday, again, our bus drivers competed in the Northern California Rodeo, and Scott and the crew did an amazing job out there. We took three drivers. Michelle Spear Derryberry, who's won several years at the local, the national, the state, and the national, placed third or fourth. One got third. Michelle got third. She was driving a conventional. She'd never driven before. She's always driven the pusher in the hills. And Andy Willis was second. I'm sorry, Don Phillips was second, and Andy Willis was first. But their total score, they're first in Northern California again. And when they won, somebody turned to me and said, "You guys always win." And I said, "Well, I guess they just are well-trained drivers." So the next one will be on Memorial Day weekend for the State of California Championships, when they drive, they fly the bus drivers up from L.A. They'll be playing, I guess, against San Diego. And it's just amazing to watch the skills that our drivers have. And you can see the excitement just from the drivers. They have a lot of pride in the craft they do, driving kids to school. Secondly, as you know, the ACE winner, which is the Excel Club, which Bernie and I belong to, the ACE winner, we've had 6 out of 7 winners. Again, this year we won for the Sierra Pacific region, which is actually will represent California, going back to the national, representing 31 states. And our winner this year was over at MCAA, Michaela Friend, who achieved a lot over a lot of things that has happened in her life that you'll be seeing. It'll be coming out in the paper. You remember she was the young lady that unfortunately got hit by the train up on the tracks. But she has just overcome so much, and she just had a great drive. The third one is somebody that went above and beyond. Recently, I mentioned the last board meeting, we at South Lyndhurst, David Jones had started an Excel Club, which is an offshoot of the Exchange Club. And Bernie and I are working with them. And so we installed them last time, and we did not know until somebody came from a national representative, and they said, "This is the only alternative high school that has a club in California, and they're going to check. It may be the nation." So Marysville Unified has got the distinction of having a local club and an Excel club from an alternative high school. So we installed them last week, and they made the comment, said, "This normally takes 90 days. You guys set a record. You did it in 30 days. And that's David Jones working together to make that happen. So a lot of good things that are happening. And finally, we got to meet the new principals, and I look for great things happening. A great district gets great with great leaders, and we're bringing a lot of new leaders on, and it's going to make us even greater. And that's it.
All right. Mr. Harris?
I would just like to say that it was so exciting this morning to be at Covelot School and see all the kids and their bike rodeo or bike clinic, I think they call it. But they were just, they were really nice. Even some of the adults brought their bicycles and rode the courses with them. But it was really, really a fun thing to do. And I think Kynoch is Thursday, and I know they're going to have a great time. Thank you.
Just one other comment. Too often, if you read the paper, you know, one of the first things I look at is the arrest reports. But make sure my name's not there. But one of the things about the clubs that Jim mentioned, and all the clubs, I don't care if they're the key clubs or the Interact, all the different clubs in the schools, these clubs, they do such an amazing amount of community service in helping to achieve, you know, where kids are actually seen doing very positive things. So I just wanted to commend all the clubs, too, all the service clubs. And this coming next 2 weeks, if you have nothing better to do almost any night, there's an award ceremony everywhere that you can watch the kids and the scholarships. I'm always astounded at the amount of money that goes into scholarships for kids when our county is pretty close usually to the bottom in the income scale. So, but I'm always amazed at the number of things that we get. Okay, moving on. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
So I had a presentation prepared, but today is my birthday, and my
Happy
executive
birthday.
Thank you. My executive board gave me this lovely shirt, flowers out in the car, and I agreed not to give a presentation tonight. So thank you.
Thank you and happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Okay, Operating Engineers Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Unit. Okay, I have two comment cards, but one we're going to delay till the item comes up. So, Tosca, Beanie, we're going to wait until we get that motion. Kelly Essery, did I say that right? Yuba Gardens yearbook class.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ulysses Martinez, and we are from the Yuba Gardens yearbook class. And next week is going to be National Education Boss Week. And we know that you have a thankless job as a board member, so we are here to present you with an appreciation certificate. This is to show that we understand your support to our school and all of the other schools in the district. Thank you for being you.
I'm Nadia Allen.
I'm Kirsa Perkins.
I'm Erica Hernandez.
I'm Felicity Gilpin.
Kelly Essery.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, good to meet you.
I said thank you. That's
very nice. Thanks
wow.
Very much.
Oh, wow. The right name there.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's very,
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 very nice certificates for the audience. Okay, superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. Rex. This time of year is an exciting time, bringing on new principals, but it's also a sad time because we have a number of principals who are leaving us through one vehicle or another. And so I just wanted to highlight a few of these folks. Lynn Cardoza is retiring. She has been a teacher since 1982 in our district and been a teaching principal. She started that position in 2001. I think Lynn was probably one of the first teachers that I met when I moved into administration, did a short-term gig up at Dobbins, and so I've known her for a very long time. Not all of the total years of service, which are 34, but I've known her for 30, so pretty close. Monica Oakes, as you know, is retiring this year as well. She started out as a teacher in our district in 1989, and then moved to principal of Kynock Elementary School in 2005 for a grand total of service for Marysville Joint Unified School District of 27 years. Leaving us, we have several folks. Jimmy Yeagers, who started out in 2005 as the assistant principal at Yuba Gardens, then moved to the principalship at Oliverhurst in 2007. So he's been with us a total of 11 years. He's moving on to become the superintendent principal at Markham, Illinois for next year. Sarah O'Brien, started with us in 2002 as a teacher, then became the principal at Johnson Park in 2006 for a total of 14 years with the district. And she's moving to Granite Bay to be a principal at a K-3 elementary school. Jed Nunes, who's sitting right over there that I don't want to look at, is leaving us after a very short time of only 3 years, but certainly appreciate his service to us as the Director of Program Services. He's leaving us to become the principal at an alternative education program in Sutter, so he's going back home, as it were. Changing positions, Lisa Goodman is the principal currently at Cordova and Browns Valley, and she's moving, as you know, to the director of our Educator Effectiveness Program. And Gary Rogers here is moving from the Community Day School Independent Program to an assistant principal at Cedar Lane. Got to looking at that, and you know, the folks that are leaving us are leaving here having put in 28 years with the district. In our retirement, 61 years of service to the district, and a grand total of all of these folks, 89 years with our district. So they will be missed, and certainly they have left their imprint on our district and our hearts as well, so they will be missed. But also tonight is also a joyous occasion because you'll notice there are some new faces. Well, they're not so new to you now. You've met them briefly, and so they will be joining the ranks of the principals in our district, and we look forward to working with them for at least 89 years each. So that is my report. Thank you, Mr. Rex.
Okay. Approval of minutes. The minutes from the regular board meeting of 4/26/16. Okay, moved by Mr. Crawford. Seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor? Aye. Any nays? Oh. All right, that brings us to the consent agenda. I've had a request to pull categorical services number one and educational services textbook approval number one. Number one on, and as far as I know, that's all, right?
If there's no other, I'll make a motion to approve consent.
Okay, Mr. Harris moves to approve the consent agenda other than the ones pulled. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? None. Okay, going back to categorical services, number one, Mr. Rasmussen.
So actually, the reason I had that pulled is I would just like to abstain from the vote because I work for Tri-County ROP.
Okay. I'm the one that pulled. Should we try to do them both or just do? Okay, then. Categorical services number one, is there a motion on the floor? Okay, moved by Mr. Danable, seconded by Mr. Boom. Okay, all those in favor? Aye. Nays? None. Abstention? One. Okay, educational services number one, the textbook approval. I was looking at this and back on the, I just said it's to be used at all of the schools, all the high schools in the district, and we're ordering only 34 copies of a book to be used at all the high schools in the district for this particular class. And that bothered me because the books are $150 a piece. But even so, if we're going to use them in all of the high schools, we should probably have ordered more books.
Well, actually, Mr. Rex, if I may, this particular textbook is being requested for a class at Marysville High School that will start next year. Part of our approval process for any of our high school textbooks, they must be in contact with the other comprehensive high schools, which means Lyndhurst High School. So they have to agree that should Lyndhurst at some point in time choose to have a similar class, namely the sustainable agriculture biology, that they have agreed that this is the textbook that they too would use. So they've been in conversation about the book, making sure it meets all of the standards and the overall need for the class. That's why there's only 30, because right now it's just one single class at Marysville High School.
I will say this. I looked over the class the description of the class and the evidence and the support, I've never seen 30 pages of support that like this before. Should be a very, very interesting class for the biology students, especially those interested in the ag field, which is predominant in our area. Okay, that being said, is there a motion to approve number one? I will move to approve number one of educational services. And seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you for clearing that up. Okay. New business. This is coming around to us since five of the board members are coming up for the election, the positions. Board of Trustees number one, resolution 2015-16-26. 25. Specification for the election order of the governing board. Okay, and...
Well, the purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the resolution to notify the board that the education code requires all governing board elections be consolidated. In accordance with the provisions of the code, a notice of consolidation and a specification of election order requires action by the board and should be returned to the county school's office. And the recommendation is that the board approve this resolution.
Okay. It also specifies date of registration for those of us that are up starting 7/18 to 8/12. Okay. Is there a motion on the floor to accept?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2015-16/25.
Moved by Mr. Rasmussen and seconded by Mr. Danable. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. Number two, item two, resolution 2015-16-26, rules and regulations pertaining to candidate statements for governing board elections. Is there a motion on the floor or any discussion?
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Mr. Harris. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Mr. Crawford seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Okay. Moving right along here. Resolution 2015-16-27, the votes at governing board elections. The purpose of this agenda item is to request the board approve the resolution establishing the procedure to be used should there be a tie vote in the governing board elections. That would be interesting, but okay. If there's any discussion, would somebody like to make a motion?
No.
It's a drawing, yeah. In the back of
page 108.
Okay. I'm not that concerned too that it's going to happen, but Mr. Harris moves to approve. Seconded by Mr. Crawford, and all those in favor? Oh, wait, hold it, hang on. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Maintenance, operations, and transportation, resolution 2015-16-28, school bus retrofit program. Any discussion?
No, you talked to us about this before.
All right. Yes, and... if there's no other discussion, the board will entertain a motion. Mr. Crawford moves to approve. Is there a second? Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. Personnel services, number one. Resolution 2015-16-29, reduced workload program.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening. The item before us tonight is a request by an employee and under rules by the California State Teachers Retirement System and past practice to bring those requests forward in order for an employee, a teacher, certificated employee, to be considered for the reduced workload program. The board would undertake and consider approval, in which case then the request then moves on to the next level with California State Teachers Retirement Service. So at this particular time, prior to your consideration, it's my understanding that the employee is here and has requested to address the board. And so with that, we'll allow the employee to address the board and then allow the board to consider this particular item.
Thank you. My name is Tosca Bini. I'm a teacher at Lyndhurst High School. And about 2 weeks ago, I submitted my application for the reduced workload program. I'm here tonight just to introduce myself to you and to provide you with information about my employment history that's not necessarily included in the application. I began working as a public school teacher in 1990, but it was in 1996 when I began working at Lyndhurst High School. I took a leave in 99, returned in 2001, and during my 18 years of working for Marysville, I have held a variety of positions in addition to my work in the classroom. I served as EL facilitator for approximately 5 years, where I was in charge of CELT testing and redesignation. Among other duties at our site, I was a teacher in the AVID program for over 10 years and the coordinator for over 5 years. Our college readiness program was approved for certification every year, and students earn thousands of dollars in scholarships such as the Dell or the Gates Millennium. I also served as a cooperating teacher with CSU Chico and guided multiple student teachers through their student teaching. And then finally, as a teacher, I've worked with English learners of all language levels and general ed students in English, often carrying multiple preps. So I share this with you just to show that I have consistently been a dedicated, hardworking teacher in the district. And just 2 months ago, I had a major health setback and had a heart attack. Excuse me. I want to continue working, but at this time, it's prudent that I reduce my hours of work. And for this reason, I'm asking you to approve my request. Thank you. Any questions from you for me?
No. In fact, in reading your diagnosis and those things, I very much admire that you want to continue to teach it at this time. So that
I have one question. How often is this reviewed? Is this an annual contract, or does it get reviewed annually, biannually, or do we know?
I'm not exactly sure. I'm sure Mr. Carrion might know.
Actually, according to the California State Teachers Retirement System rules, once an employee enters into the reduced workload program, it's continuous. It doesn't need to be approved, but it can be reviewed by the board in a subsequent year. But consistent or ongoing approvals are not necessary. And so it can be a continuous thing up to 5 years. It used to be up to 10 years, but the board at one time undertook a decision for a 5 year with a minimum age of 55 to enter into the program.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The board will entertain a motion if there's no further discussion.
So I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2015-16/29, reduced workload program.
Okay, Mr. Rasmussen makes a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Fleury seconds the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Better leave your hands up. Okay. All those voting no? for? Yes.
I have, please correct me if I have it wrong. Yes votes are Mr. Rasmussen, Mr. Fleury, and Mr. Rex. No votes are Mr. Boom, Mr. Crawford, Mr. Danable, and Mr. Harris. So there are four no votes, three yes votes.
Okay, then the motion does not pass. Okay, moving on. Facilities and Energy Management Department, bid award, Arboga Legacy Project, 8129. Project 8129. Ryan?
As we have indicated to the board many times, this is the project to close out the six portables, rooms 10 through 16, or 7, at the on the Arboga campus. There's a lot of work detailing those actual portables. Some of it is contingent on what we find as we structurally, the contractor structurally inspects and makes improvements to the portable as well as that path of travel leading from the parking lot up into those classrooms. And so this is the bid we got. There's obviously some disparity. Again, a lot of unknowns on this project, and we'll see what we encounter as we open up the project this summer and get it finished for school in August.
Mr. DiGiulio, why do you think that there was almost, double the second bid over the first bid? Are we anticipating any issues with this?
We definitely inquired as to why the difference. We inquired in terms of the details and the line item bid from the low bidder that was provided to us. They assured us that they included all the scope, but they submitted a responsible bid, and so we'll accept it at this time and move forward and see what occurs.
Yeah, they're both very good contractors. It just a little bit alarming that we have one for almost, $500,000.
Well, part of it too, it depends on their staffing. So you'll see the actual contractor that finished second on this bid. On the next item, they finished first because they were using their staffing. So it depends where they have their staffing allocated, how many hours they're working, or where they're going to be positioned. So it might not be economical from a staffing standpoint.
Yeah, not that much.
Not that much, I agree. We'll see. We'll take that. Obviously, we'll have a. There is some contingency built into it because we don't know what's going to counter. We'll see, obviously, as we progress. We're going to track the 10% as we normally do, and we'll continue to communicate with the board through the process.
I was having some concerns about the change orders that we've had in the past and those kinds of things. That being said, is there a motion for the board to for this item? Motion to approve by Mr. Rasmussen. Is there a second? Mr. Fleury seconds it. Okay, all those in favor? Aye. Any nays? None? Unanimous? Bid award, item two, Leonard Sidewalk Project, Quad and Gas Line Project, 8075. I'm going to start bringing some glasses, I think. Okay. If there's any discussion here?
This is what I anticipate when we get bids. Is we've got one 248, and then we have the other one at 201.99. Now
that's two million.
That's the difference. I look at that and go, okay, well, that's still a lot of money.
And the risk in terms of inherently between the projects is different. This project is much more detailed. We know the scope. It's not a closeout project, so we know exactly the hardscape and the different areas we're working on. Just a reminder, too, there will be a separate approval for the shade canopy because the shade canopy has a different DSA number, and that will come to the board at the next board meeting. But this is the vast majority, obviously, of that project, and it's a large scope of over 55,000 square feet on the Lyndhurst campus.
Now, when we're doing a project of this magnitude, I know that leaseback's been challenged, but it hasn't. They're not saying it's illegal to use, and it could be held up in the courts for years. So why are we not using that delivery, or why can't we use that delivery process until something becomes of it, and so we don't run into the issues that we're running into with the other project?
There was actually a recent court case that goes against the Davis versus Fresno case, so there's even more ambiguity now because there's two conflicting cases. We don't know if the state will rule, so it's in a gray area right now. There's not to say we can't use it. It's just there's no legal certainty on it right now, and we will continue to look at it. If it becomes viable, we will look at it. And there's other delivery methods we had discussed with the board in terms of hiring.
Why is it not viable if it hasn't been ruled on one way or the other?
You don't know how the final resolution is going to be because there's one court that has one side and one that has another, and that other one just came recently before we put this out to bid. So we could pursue that. We'd have to work with legal counsel, and we'll have to watch it, but we could pursue it. It's becoming more seeing a court obviously rule to show the viability. There's also some legislation in work, so we very well could see the method return if the board wants to pursue that in the future. We can look at it as well on projects. We're not closed off to it.
I just don't like to see what's happened with the air conditioning project out at Lyndhurst, where we have a product that's probably a little less than what we'd have liked. I mean, the way that we had to extend that fence out past the building and stuff to put those other coolers in there and stuff. And, it came out. I mean, it's a great project, and it had to be done. But I don't think it's exactly the way you would have liked to have seen it done.
Extending the fence and doing that didn't have to do with the contractor necessarily in terms that was a design issue, and that had to do also with the short timeline and trying to get that project done. And we're obviously still finishing up their project until we're satisfied that it's fully complete, and we're working through those issues. But the design issue was more between the mechanical engineer and the manufacturer, so it didn't really have anything to do with the contractor at that juncture.
Those are the kind of issues that we in the past have gotten away from when we've done big projects.
There are benefits to using leaseback. That's why a lot of school districts use it. Again, there's some legal uncertainty, but if it's the board's wish, we can work with legal counsel in the future. We've had a point. That's why we've been tracking the 10% change orders, and so we're taking it project by project.
You said there was a new case that came in on it, and you said it was made it more ambiguous. How does the new case make the old case and make leaseback more ambiguous than it was before?
It makes the legal certainty over it more ambiguous because you have two conflicting cases, and there hasn't been a higher court that's ruled on it, so you don't know which precedent to take. But you do have a court now that has found that leaseback is a legal delivery method. So it doesn't make it, there is an argument that perhaps a court will find in your favor, so it makes it less risky, I guess. But there's some ambiguity in the sense that you have two conflicting courts and there's no clear.
Right. But if we were to use that process for delivery of these contracts, mm-hmm. what would happen? Okay, it's going to be another 2 years probably before, or another year at least before they make a decision. Okay, what would happen to us because we've used that process because no one said it was illegal to use, and it's saving us money because we don't get the change orders. What would happen to us as a district? What would they say? Are we fined or
The state hasn't released anything official in terms of being fined. Obviously, there's two courts in juxtaposition. It's just a risk of being sued or finding out that it does become illegal.
Being sued by
depends on the situation, but it could be a variety, whether it be somebody from the community, a contractor. Okay. I mean, there's a variety of parties that
If we were to use this, say the last one that we approved as the example, and that was, we used leaseback, and a year from now, this project is done, and then a year from now, the higher court comes down with a decision that says you don't use it anymore. Where would our trouble be, and who would sue us over that if we said, here's your money, we paid you for a job well done. They've taken the money, they've walked off, they entered a contract with us. And who would have the right or the desire to sue us for what?
Again, the potential would be from one of the various parties. I'm not saying it would happen. Right. There's a risk, but it wouldn't necessarily happen, no.
And I would just suggest that if this is something you'd like to look more into for our larger projects, that's certainly something we can bring back to the board for more of a discussion item with legal counsel as well.
Would you like? Perhaps with the new ruling, perhaps I can get a memo from legal that can kind of provide us a little more clarity and direction. I could talk to him tomorrow.
Because at this point, these projects are imperative that they happen this summer.
No,
so to delay them would be beneficial.
No,
but
no.
For those projects that will be coming in the future, certainly I think I'm hearing from a majority of the board you'd like to explore it a little more to see what the risks and benefits might be of going back to using lease-leaseback. So, and we'll be happy
In no way do I want to hold this project up.
Okay.
Can you just give me a little history in the district? How long ago did we do lease-leaseback, and how long did that last, and now we changed? Or?
Yeah, there was a lot of lease-leaseback done before. There was some competitive bid done even prior to that, and there were some issues. They went to lease-leaseback, and basically any project that was usually typically $100,000 or more, we'd go to lease-leaseback. Just in the recent years, because of the ambiguity created by that first case, the Davis versus Fresno, we've gone to competitive bid. I was part of a district. We had a bond construction program as well. We used lease-leaseback as well. So it was the first time I've done competitive bid on these type of construction projects is in the last couple of years.
And the reason that the district went to lease-leaseback is the exorbitant costs associated with the unexpected things that would come up, and the change order amounts were huge, 15, 20, 30% of the project. So that's why we went to a lease-leaseback. So that we had a handle on that situation. And it's basically because the architect and the contractor work hand in hand from the very beginning of the project, so they truly understand the scope and the risk of taking that on. Should they not include a part of the project in their lease-leaseback amount, that was back on the contractor. It did not come back on the district. Guaranteed maximum price.
Yeah, and there's a contingency built in. So there are change orders, but they don't come before the board. They're handled with that 10% contingency. And sometimes there's argument, the price is maybe a little bit more under lease, but you get, obviously, that relationship's built and the incentives are aligned so that you typically believe you get the quality project. So there's arguments for it and against it.
And typically the changes were district initiated. So we knew we were asking for the scope to change, and so we knew those change orders would come forward. But it was not for unforeseen problems with the project.
And our typical contingency that we ever used, I don't think we ever exceeded 2 or 3%. A lot of times, half a percent or less.
I think we had a project later that did exceed it, but certainly the bulk of them were within it.
Fluctuates by project.
Would that have protected us from the air conditioning at Lindhurst because it was the carrier issue or the provider of the product is the one that made the change? So it wasn't really the contractor. Are they a portion of that too?
Some of that was, I don't want to get into the specifics because it's not really for a public meeting, but I will say that there was a very short window to get that designed and to get that into play so that we would have those systems up for this summer. I think that played into it more than anything.
So yes, it would have protected us, or no, it would not have?
Not in this situation. I don't believe so in this situation.
Okay.
Thank you, Ryan.
I'll get the memo to the board shortly.
Okay, if discussion's over, do we have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Mr. Harris moves to approve. Mr. Fleury seconds. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? None? Unanimous. Tonight's board meeting is closed in memory of Bill Young, a former mayor of Marysville, former Marysville Union High School board president. and community leader. His wife, Alberta, was also a former Marysville Union High School cafeteria director. Thank you very much for coming tonight.